Welcome to Change Your Relationship with Food, the podcast hosted by me, Kyla Holly. With many years' experience as an eating disorder and bariatric therapist, I know exactly what it takes to help you break free from your diet history and develop a more healthy relationship with food. Please follow this podcast to make sure you don't miss a thing. Today we have a guest and her name is Bianca Skilbeck. She works down in Melbourne in Victoria and she owns a business called Freedom From Food. So she's very much in our demographic of the way we like to talk about food and the things we like to do. She was actually originally trained as a clinical hypnotherapist and counsellor, but she's currently in the process of doing her master's in clinical psychology, so almost there to be a psychologist down in Victoria as well through Victoria University. So the first thing I'd like to clear up, clinical hypnotherapy, I want to distinguish what that is from what people might have seen on stage or television as far as a hypnotist, and they think that going to see a clinical hypnotherapist you'll somehow take over their brain. So explain why that's not the case. Hopefully it's not the case.
Okay. Yes, good question. And hi, Kyla. Thank you for the invite onto this podcast. It's great to chat today. So yeah, good question about the hypnotherapy side of things. A lot of people have that similar sort of question because a lot of people, of course, know of stage hypnosis and all of the, you know, funny and wonderful things that can happen on there. And then they think that that might be similar to what happens in the therapy room. But really, it's a totally different process, really. It's a totally different mechanism that's being used. So clinical hypnotherapy, it's really, if you just think of hypnotherapy as a different modality of therapy, it is in no way a way that, you know, we gain control over anyone's brain or anything like that. What happens in a session of hypnotherapy is essentially there will be some counseling component, of course, first. So we get to know the person and get to know what they're wanting to work on and talk through that like we would, you know, with any other kind of issue. And the hypnosis gets used at some point in the session just as another way of doing therapy. So often there will be a case of, you know, somebody might close their eyes. It might be a guided visualization. It might be a more collaborative kind of process where we get them to sort of maybe talk back and go into their imagination, describe things. But it's certainly not a case of being asleep or unconscious. There's no stage antics, anything like that. It's just a different way of doing therapy. And yeah, when it works well, hopefully a way of getting to some of the deeper issues that people can experience. It helps people to often get some insights that they might not otherwise get when they're just doing, you know, sort of straight up talk therapy.
Okay. So do some people come into it believing that they can't be hypnotized because as maybe they've got that impression from the sort of stage and TV shows where there's that impression that you go under somehow for something to work?
Yeah, sometimes people do have that concern. I mean, I must say less and less these days, I think I get those questions. I think that hypnotherapy is starting to become something that's a bit more mainstream and most people might, you know, sort of know somebody that's done it before or they might know a little bit about it anyway. So some of those misconceptions, are getting less and less and I do get less of those questions. But yeah, certainly sometimes people, you know, come and or they even just inquire and they say, I don't think I can be hypnotized. And yeah, really, I just explain the process of being hypnotized as being not that much different to when you're in a state of flow. So what I mean by that is, you know, let's say you've got a favorite sport that you play or a musical instrument or you're really into reading your favorite book at the moment and you get into a state of flow where, you know, you're very focused, time sort of distorts and you're not really focused on the time anymore and you're just very in the zone. That is a hypnotic state in and of itself. And that's kind of what we're using in the clinical hypnosis space where we're just using a person's ability to become very focused and very in the zone with what they're doing. And in that way, it kind of bypasses some of those conscious processes that might get in the way. When people are sort of thinking and talking about their problem, they might be coming at it from a very, you know, sort of top-down cognitive kind of place. But, you know, when they're in a more hypnotic sort of space, you know, it just facilitates that ability to go a little bit deeper when they're in the zone and focused.
And is that why it's such a kind of good vehicle for change? Because a lot of our behaviours are in our subconscious, they're automatic, and we don't do them on that sort of cognitive level.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I think it's important to say that I think that a lot of cognitive therapies are really important, and I definitely incorporate those into my work as well. But yeah, certainly using something like hypnosis as part of the sessions, I find it's really helpful for a lot of people because it helps them go a bit beyond that cognitive level and helps them to go even into more sort of somatic levels of their experiencing. So when they, you know, start to notice particular feelings in their body and they can start to join the dots between how they feel and maybe things that have happened in the past or maybe even things that they're currently doing, it just allows for a bit more insight.
Yeah. Oh, I totally agree. And it's funny that you should say that because I was just going to lead you there. It's interesting. I think when we start out in our professional lives, you know, we come at it from a very logical kind of cognitive basis. And the early stuff we learn is certainly in that area. And then the more, I suppose, we relax into our work, the more we explore these other areas like the subconscious and like the somatic work, which I'm learning more and more about. And it's amazing how the more you learn, the more it connects into all the other things that you do. And it helps us as clinicians make sense of it all. And hopefully it's just how we kind of interpret that and how we manage to explain to the people that come to see us how it all connects together.
Absolutely. You know, I've been doing this work for just over 10 years now, and I find that who I was as a therapist, you know, in my first year versus third versus fifth versus now, and, you know, I'm sure into the future as well, it just keeps evolving and changing. There's so much to learn in this space, so much to integrate. It's work that never gets boring, which is why I love it.
Yeah, me too. I figured out years ago, I think, that I'm intelligent, but I've got a very short attention span. and I was quite happy to find that out about myself. But what it means is that I need that constant learning. I need that constant stimulation. I don't thrive well in circumstances where I kind of go, oh, yeah, I know that now.
Mm-hmm. Because there's nothing routine, I think, about therapy. Like when we go into therapy thinking that it's going to be a particular kind of structure, a particular kind of predictable formulaic thing, you know, that's when we will get bored with it, you know. But when we can actually see the person in front of us and how unique they are and respond to their needs in the moment in a very attuned kind of way, and I think that happens through some of this more, you know, somatic, subconscious kind of work, then we never get bored.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I don't know what sort of people that come to see us think, but I know sometimes I go in to a session with a bit of a plan. You know, I kind of go, I don't want to look an idiot here. I'm going to have a little bit of a plan of what to do with this person. And then sometimes your plan completely flies out the window because they will walk in with something that's happened, something new, some direction they want to take. And we end up as clinicians having to, you know, really kind of ad lib our way through a lot of sessions because suddenly the little plan we have is thrown out of the window and we've got to think as we go how we're going to respond to that. And yeah. I don't think people realize that when they come to see us.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what people might think, actually. It'd be interesting feedback to know. But yeah, it's certainly, you know, I think in order to be an effective therapist, yeah, you really have to toe that line between having a structure to what you're doing, but then also being really flexible, you know, as to what actually, you know, presents in the moment.
Now, you mentioned something to me in an email a little while ago, gut-directed hypnotherapy. And I'll be totally honest, I have no clue what that is. So can you explain a bit more? Because it sounds like it's something you're going to explain it and I'm going to go, oh my God, that links more things together. So okay. Tell me what it is and how it works.
Of course. So look, hypnotherapy can be used like as a modality in and of itself. Clinical hypnotherapy can be used for, you know, just about anything really. Lots of people know of hypnotherapy for things like quit smoking or working on fears and phobias, anxiety, that sort of thing. But one of the growing areas that hypnotherapy is actually most commonly being used these days is in the gut space. So whenever anybody is experiencing any functional gut symptoms, and by functional gut symptoms, I mean things that aren't necessarily connected to any like pathology. So like we've got things like, you know, Crohn's disease, irritable bowel disease, ulcerative colitis, those things have an actual pathology. They've got biomarkers that can be found that indicate disease within the body. We're not necessarily talking about that category of people, although they may still benefit. But we're talking about people who experience functional gut symptoms. So things like, most people have heard of IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, where they might experience an assortment of gut symptoms ranging from, you know, diarrhea, constipation, bloating, excess gas, pain, all of that sort of thing. And there's not necessarily any reason why this is happening. You know, they get all the scans done. They, you know, get the gastroscopy, the endoscopy, the colonoscopy, all of these things. There's nothing to be found, but nonetheless, they're still having the symptoms. And this is the category of people who are a really good target for something like gut-directed hypnotherapy, because essentially we're using hypnotherapy to kind of, for lack of a better way to say it, rewire that mind-body connection. Often there can be something that's kind of gone amiss, whether it's a physical stress that's even happened. Sometimes people can have, you know, maybe like a food poisoning or an illness or something, and it sort of kicks off, you know, a bunch of these symptoms that sort of just become a bit of a pattern for the body. Or maybe it's a stress response. You know, maybe somebody experiences a lot of anxiety and stress, and that started to, you know, affect how like they're digestively functioning. And then of course, you know, some people, you know, experience, as you and I both know, you know, things in the realms of eating disorders or disordered eating. And of course that interrupts gut function as well. So all of these types of people can benefit from something like gut-directed hypnotherapy, which is essentially a hypnotherapy technique that is used to rewire some of that mind-body functioning and help the digestion just happen more effectively.
So is this sort of directly connected to the sort of vagal nerve somatic work? Because I've studied a lot of that in its connection with trauma. And how it affects the parasympathetic nervous system. And again, it's one of those things, like I was saying earlier, the more I learn, the more these pennies drop where you go, oh, that's connected to that. And that, you know, and it's so interesting how we get these physical effects that we're dealing with, which we have no knowledge that they're actually kind of heavily influenced by things like past traumas and how we hold that in our nervous system.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, I think you're onto something there. And I think all of this stuff is connected. To some degree, I think, and especially like in Western science, we've very much, you know, come to conceptualize the brain and the body as like different things, or the mind and the body as different things. But, you know, more and more we can see through, you know, a lot of somatic therapies and vagal nerve knowledge, all that sort of stuff, you know, that the mind and the body are connected and they really influence each other in a bidirectional kind of way. And our bodies are very influenced by our thought processes and, you know, stress and all of that sort of thing. So yeah, essentially we're getting the mind and the body just back on the same page again and helping a person with their digestion through that way.
But how does the hypnotherapy, I mean, you say rewiring, so how do you direct it towards the gut? Because you said it was gut directed, but how do you do that?
Yeah, so rewiring is probably, it's probably not quite the right word, but I think it's just a word that makes sense to a lot of people. But essentially, in a session of gut-directed hypnotherapy, and normally it will be like a program of sessions that people do, but there will be a lot of direct suggestion and, you know, suggestion for particular kinds of visualizations about how the gut functions. And so we're essentially trying to relax the nervous system and give a lot of direct suggestion about how the gut can function in a much more effective and comfortable kind of way. And it's directed in the sense that each session that we do with somebody is specific to what they're experiencing, because everybody experiences different kinds of symptoms. So we make it a very tailored sort of process to each individual and make sure that we're targeting their specific symptoms and using, you know, visuals and metaphors and things that are going to resonate with them. And so each session that we do, and usually people will do somewhere between sort of 4 to 6 sessions or something in order to, you know, quote unquote, treat, you know, something like IBS. Each session will be about 20 minutes long. We'll do that visualization, very low pressure on the part of the person receiving the gut-directed hypnotherapy. All they need to do is just sit back, relax, close their eyes, just kind of get into it, use their imagination. They get a recording after that, and we get the person to listen to the recording essentially most days in between sessions. So it's a process that might take, you know, between sort of 4 to 6 weeks. but very, very effective. So it's one of the most well-studied uses of hypnotherapy at this point. There's heaps out there in terms of trials and things that have been replicated. And usually in the realms of about 70 to 80% of people notice a significant decrease in their symptoms. So it's, a really good tool for a lot of people who might otherwise be considering or have already tried, a lot of medications or procedures, or especially dietary restriction. That's often one of the things that people can immediately go to when they're starting to, experience symptoms of IBS. They might start cutting out, entire food groups and all of that sort of thing. And it's, obviously that's, in the space of disordered eating. I mean, that's contraindicated to begin with. But, if anyone can not have to cut out entire food groups, then that is also a very preferable thing as well, isn't it? If people can actually heal some of their symptoms with something like hypnotherapy and not have to change their diet at all, then that's very preferable.
So is this something that once you've completed your master's, are you going to continue in this sort of speciality that you've had over the last 10 years?
Yeah, it's funny. People ask me that, and my answer is absolutely, because why would I stop doing something that works? So
sometimes we discover something along the way when we study that, this little avenue which we go, oh, that's really interesting. Perhaps I should branch into that. Mm-hmm. And I just wondered if you'd had a little discovery that was going to tempt you away from mm-hmm. doing this sort of work. That's all.
Yeah, no, look, probably the discovery has been more of the gut-directed side of things, because I've been working as a hypnotherapist for 10 years now and working with disordered eating for a long time and all of that sort of thing. But it's only in the last couple of years that I've started to work a lot more with the gut side of stuff. And that's really useful for a lot of my clients that have experienced disordered eating as well. And yeah, just in the last couple of years, started to read a lot more of the research in that space and started to really see how effective it is. And so combining that has been just like such a good tool, to use for a lot of my clients as well. So yeah, by the end of next year, I will have finished my master's, if all is going well. And certainly my title will change on paper, but I think I'll be essentially doing much of the same work, what I know already works.
Fantastic. Oh, I'm glad we were not losing you to something else along the way.
Nope, I'm still here.
Excellent. So your business is Freedom From Food. So just tell me about the sort of people that come to you. What sort of cross-section of people do you get?
Yeah, so, I mean, my business is open to all demographics of people, all ages, all genders. I tend to see a lot of, I suppose, young adults, people in their sort of 20s, 30s, maybe even 40s that have had maybe a long history of dieting. Maybe they've had an eating disorder, whether or not it was diagnosed at any point. That's not important either way, the labels of things. Mm-hmm. Although, of course, I want to know the history of that. But yeah, I tend to see a lot of young people who are really, deciding that it's time for them now to heal their relationship with food. And maybe they've already done a lot of work on themselves to some degree, and they've sort of plateaued or gotten to a certain point, or maybe this is the first thing that they've tried. Sometimes that also happens too, but yeah, that tends to be the kinds of people that I'm seeing.
Well, I know I've certainly had the confidence to send a few people your way over the years.
I appreciate that.
You're my go-to in Melbourne.
Wonderful.
You did some, I mean, how many years ago was it that you did originally the eating disorder course with me?
Yeah, it must have been, I'm going to say maybe about 8 years ago, something like that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think back. It would have been 8 or 10 years ago.
Yeah, even 10. Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah. It was certainly in my earlier career days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you did realize at the time that was actually the first ever eating disorder course that I hosted down in Melbourne. The first ever one.
I don't know if I did realize that, but it's funny, isn't it? I remember, when I had my first client, thinking to myself, they don't know that that they're your first client, just like fake it till you make it.
Absolutely. I just remember going down to Melbourne and going, I'm going to give this a shot. And if it's a disaster, I'll just bury myself somewhere and nobody will ever know that I ever did this.
And luckily you're a natural, so.
I don't know about that. I had to discover an awful lot, but Bianca and I spent a whole week together down in Melbourne just, with me talking about eating disorders and getting the class to do all sorts of things. It was a fairly big class. I think it was about 18 people. So for a first attempt, it was a bit of a shocker for me to have to talk for basically 5 days to all these people. But after that, it went from strength to strength. And it was only really things started to change around COVID time when we could no longer do that face-to-face stuff. So the people doing the course now are doing it online rather than face-to-face. And it's essentially still the same. Nothing much has changed over those years. But it was just interesting that I'm still in contact with a few people from that first ever course. They've sort of stuck with me.
Yeah, isn't that funny? And I've got really fond memories of, of that week of, meeting a few people who I still talk to as well. And, it's just a really enjoyable training, like really, really thorough, really comprehensive, really interesting and engaging. And I mean it when I say it, you're a natural as a teacher, Kyla. And so it was enjoyable.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much. Now, look, if you want to get in touch with Bianca, if you are down in Melbourne, or do you do telehealth as well?
Probably half the clients that I have, I've never met in person. so they're not necessarily in Melbourne, not even necessarily in Australia sometimes. But telehealth is also completely fine. We can do hypnotherapy on telehealth as well. Sometimes that's a question that people have. But as long as you've got a good internet connection and a quiet place to be able to have your session, that's all you need.
Fantastic. So literally you could be anywhere and you could connect with Bianca. So don't worry about the Melbourne part. You could be anywhere. What I will do is put a link to your business in the episode notes for this episode so people can get in contact with you directly. Wonderful. If what you've said today has any interest for them. So hopefully, please be prepared to do that. And I'd like to thank Bianca so much for joining me today. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
No problem at all. It's been my pleasure. Thank you so much for your company today. I would also love it if you could follow this podcast. It really does mean a lot to me. Also, we have a 6-week online Change Your Relationship with Food course that you can take. Just visit www.acfeb.com and click on the ACFEB and Me courses link. There's also a journal and a workbook available on Amazon, and you'll find that link in our bio. I really hope you can join me again next week. Goodbye.